Chapter 21. Rachel. Late afternoon, Sunday, 18th of August, 2013. The three of us are sitting in the kitchen. Evie's on Anna's knee.
It was supposed to be just sex, just fun, Tom's saying. But no, she wanted more, and she got angry when I ended it. She wouldn't give up. Then finally, she stopped calling. But that Saturday, she left a message. She wanted to tell me something important. I ignored her, so she said she was going to come to the house. She was going to tell Anna. At least I knew Anna was going out, so if she did come to the house, that would be fine. I could make her understand. But it all went wrong. And it was your fault, Rachel. Anna came back home after 5 minutes because she saw you near the station, drunk and falling over. She was worried you would come and try to take Evie again, so I had to come and look for you. I needed you to understand that I didn't want you anywhere near us. So I took you into the underpass to stop you crying so loudly in the street, and I told you. You kept crying and complaining, so I hit you to shut you up, he says, speaking angrily now. I just wanted you to go away. You and Megan. Then, after I left you, Megan appeared, walking down Blenheim Road. I couldn't let her go to the house, could I? So I told her we should go somewhere quiet and talk. We got in the car and we drove to Cawley Wood. In the early days, Megan and I sometimes used to go there to have sex. I can see that Anna's upset when she hears this. She started talking about a baby. She didn't know if it was mine or his. I told her to get rid of it. She started screaming and hitting me. I just wanted her to shut up. So I picked up a rock and hit her with it, just once. He breathes in and out slowly, then goes on. She was bleeding a lot. She was crying, making a horrible noise. She tried to move away from me on the ground. There was nothing I could do. I had to finish it.
An awful silence falls on the room. Then Tom speaks again.
I carried her further into the wood. I had to dig with my bare hands and it was painful. It really hurt. And I couldn't go as deep as I wanted. I thought I'd be able to come back later to do it better. But it started raining and I couldn't.
He turns and walks away from me.
I need a beer,
he says, and opens the fridge. I see my chance. I stand up and run. My hand is reaching for the front door when the beer bottle hits the back of my head. The pain is terrible, and I fall to my knees. He pushes me down onto the floor. I can hear him talking, but I'm in shock. I'm in pain.
Anna, take Evie. Go up to the bedroom and close the door. Don't call anyone, okay? I mean it, Anna.
Anna stares down at me for a moment. I have no idea what she's thinking. Then, with the child in her arms, she hurries away. Tom grabs my hair and pulls me along the floor into the kitchen. I'm kicking, but I don't make contact with anything. I can't see properly, and the pain is horrible. I feel sick. And then, suddenly more pain comes as something hard connects with my head. Then, nothing. It's much later. I can hear heavy rain and it's dark outside. Then the pain and fear come, and I remember where I am. With difficulty, I lift my head and I see him sitting at the kitchen table with a bottle of beer in front of him.
This is all your fault, Rachel, he says. If you just left us alone, none of this would have happened.
He walks over to me and pulls me to my feet. He comes closer to me, and I move back against the kitchen cupboards.
That day when we went to the lake, he says,
you thought you had a chance with me, didn't you? He starts to laugh.
I could have had sex with you then, couldn't I?
He's so close that his body is touching mine now.
You're like a dog that just keeps coming back, You can kick it and shout at it, but it will just keep trying to love you.
You're a dog, aren't you, Rachel?
He puts his hand around my waist and starts to kiss me. I let him. I don't know if everything's in the same place it used to be in this house. Maybe Anna has moved things around. I hope she hasn't. As he pushes himself against me, I carefully open the drawer behind me and put my hand inside. My hand closes around an object in the drawer. I recognize the feel of it. When he moves his mouth away from mine, I push him with all my strength. I kick him in the leg as hard as I can, and as he bends forward to hold his leg, I grab his hair. I hold his head still as I bring my knee up hard into his face. He cries out in pain. I push him to the floor, grab the key from the kitchen table, and run out through the double doors before he can stand up. I run towards the fence, but then he's on top of me, pulling me down by my hair. I get away from him again, but there's nowhere to go. I run to the bottom of the garden and turn around. I watch as he walks quickly towards me. I wait, and then when he gets to me, I jump forward and push the corkscrew into his neck as hard as I can. His eyes widen as he falls without a sound. He brings his hands to his throat. His eyes are staring at me. He looks as though he's crying. I watch until I can't look any longer, then turn my back on him. Tuesday, 10th of September, 2013. Side by side, covered in blood, we sat on the sofa, Anna and I. Anna called the ambulance and the police. The ambulance arrived too late to save Tom, and then the police were there. The detectives came too, Gaskill and Riley.
Rachel was protecting herself, Anna told them. He attacked her with the corkscrew. He was going to kill her. She had no choice. Then I tried to stop the blood, she said, beginning to cry. But I couldn't. I just couldn't stop it.
They took us to the police station and put us in separate rooms to ask us questions. They examined me all over, and I told them how he attacked me, first with the bottle and then with the corkscrew. Later, they came and told me Anna's story had been the same as mine, and I was free to leave. It was all a shock, of course. It's taken a few days for me to put it all together and understand it. But I now see that Tom's whole life was built on lies. Big lies, small lies, even many lies he had no reason to tell. Almost all of them I believed. And so did Anna. Because we loved him. I've travelled by train for most of the day, and now I'm in a town on the Norfolk coast. Tomorrow, I'll go further north. Mum lent me quite a lot of money when she heard everything that had happened, so I don't have to worry for a while. I went to Hokham this afternoon. I visited the church where Megan is buried, next to the bones of her daughter, Libby. It made me anxious, walking around there in the rain, with no one around. I can't stop imagining that someone's waiting behind every corner, planning to jump out and hurt me. I got cold and started to shake, so I've come back to the hotel. I could go to the bar for a drink, but I'm not going to. I haven't had a drink for 21 days. Instead, I go to my room. I'm not going to drink. I know it would help me forget for a while, the look on his face when I turned back to watch him die. But I'm not going to have a drink. That night, I heard something behind me in the garden, and I turned and saw Anna coming out of the house. She walked quickly towards us, and when she reached his side, she fell to her knees and put her hands on his throat. I wanted to say, "It's too late. You won't be able to help him now,"
but then I realised that she wasn't trying to stop the blood. She was pushing the corkscrew further in, as hard as she could, pushing and turning it. The last time I saw her was in the police station, when they took us to different rooms to question us. Just before they took her, she touched my arm and said, "You take care of yourself, Rachel." It almost seemed like she was warning me in some way. We will be forever connected together by the stories that we told. That I had no choice but to attack his neck to protect myself. That Anna tried her best to save him. I get into bed in my hotel room and turn out the lights. I won't be able to sleep, but I'll try. One day, I hope the horrible memories will go away. But right now, I have a long night in front of me, and I have to get up early tomorrow morning to catch the train.
Penguin Readers, The Girl on the Train, Paula Hawkins, Level 6, retold by Helen Holwell, illustrated by Monica Auriemma, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Laurence Bouvard, Jenny Bryce and Aneka Akoya. Copyright Penguin Books Limited 2021.